Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how the broken body of Jesus Christ produces health in our life. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us, God. I thank you for you filling us with your Holy Spirit to overflowing so that we can manifest the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, God. Father, I thank you for how you've called us to live a more than abundant life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And God, I claim that right now for each and every one of your children who is going to listen to this teaching, that they can glean something that enables them to claim their physical wholeness and healing and health and peace and stability right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to listen to this song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
The atmosphere for praise. believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time. Like you think they should. Don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up your phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. For 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Worship is shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how the broken body of Jesus Christ produces health and healing in our life. One of the most important things, if not the most important thing in life after our spiritual relationship with God is established, is claiming our physical wholeness, our health and healing that we have through the broken body of Jesus Christ. And this is something that a lot of people don't understand. People have an easier time somehow embracing the idea that Jesus Christ shed blood, paid for all of their sin. And that's a big deal because it gives us peace. It gives us confidence in being able to approach our Heavenly Father with confidence, knowing that he loves us and he's already paid the price for all of our sin with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And now, after that, we also have to believe that the three beatings that Jesus Christ took with a whip with pieces of bone and metal at the end of it, just pulling the flesh and the muscle off of his bones, was for our physical wholeness. See, Jesus Christ was innocent, and yet he was punished, he was beat, he was brutalized for our well-being, for our physical wholeness. And we're going to read about that today, but we're also going to see what are the other ways that we can allow the broken body of Jesus Christ to improve our health by understanding how sin produces illness, understanding how unforgiveness in our life produces illness, understanding how stress in our life produces illness and mental instability and emotional affliction. And God needs us to be at peace, to receive his peace. And in order to do that, we're going to have to tap into the principles that he's given us in the Word of God so that we can be confident that it is God's will for us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. I'm going to start tonight in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 15, verses 25 to 26, it says, and this is speaking of Moses, it says, "So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.'" Now, the context of this is that the children of Israel were thirsty and the waters were bitter, and this tree made the waters sweet after he cast it into the waters. And then he reminded the people, he reminded the children of Israel of all of the afflictions that the Egyptians had to endure before they finally let God's people go. And the thing about the children of Israel that's important that we have to remember is that when they came into Egypt, there were only 70 of them. And they came into Egypt and through favor, the favor of Pharaoh, who acknowledged Joseph, and Joseph was the one who interpreted Pharaoh's dream and helped Pharaoh establish Egypt as the dominant power in the world by interpreting his dream of the 7 years of plenty that were going to come before the 7 years of famine. And the famine was a worldwide famine. But as far as they knew, the famine was for Egypt. But Egypt was producing all of this grain during the 7 years of plenty. And they stored it up. And Joseph was put over that. He was number two in Egypt to Pharaoh. And then during the 7 years of scarcity, the 7 years of famine, Egypt had all of this surplus. And what happened was that the people who lived in Egypt had to sell their land to Pharaoh in order to get food and move into the cities. And then the people from the countries all around Egypt had to bring their wealth to Egypt in order to get food, because Egypt was the only place with food for 7 years. And all of this wealth came to Egypt because of Joseph having interpreted Pharaoh's dream. The problem here that occurs is that when Joseph's family shows up and they're given the land of Goshen, they are given a place in Egypt, it's a time of favor. But as time progressed And that pharaoh passed away, and a new pharaoh came in, and he forgot about Joseph and what Joseph did to make Egypt the dominant power in the world at the time. They realized how these 70 children of Israel, relatives of Joseph, sons of Jacob, sons of Israel, how they produced and reproduced at such an incredible rate. They said, these people are going to overtake us if we don't slow them down. And so they enslaved them. And they tried to kill their babies, actually, literally. And for 400 years, God's people, the children of Israel, were enslaved in Egypt. And then Moses takes them out of slavery, and on their way to the promised land, this is what we're reading about here. And before Pharaoh let them go, God had to afflict the Egyptians with lice, with turning the water to blood, with locusts, with all of these plagues that just afflicted them. And God said, look, I won't allow any of this to happen to you if you keep my commands and keep my statutes, and I am the Lord who heals you. And so he is showing them how he has power to preserve them. And making the water sweet is one of those things, because we know that good health is not possible without good drinking water. I want to look at this next passage of scripture here that I think is going to bless you. In Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, our soul is to bless the Lord and to not forget his benefits. See, you have to remember one of the main goal and desire of God is that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. So God's desire to have a relationship with you is real, is serious. And so he's seeking to bless you. But the devil is absolutely opposed to you dwelling with God and God dwelling with you, as God said. So everything he can do to separate you from God is what he is trying to do. And one of the ways that this happens is when we forget the benefits, when we don't study God's word, when we don't meditate on the goodness of God's word, and then we start looking at all of the bad things going on in our life or in the lives of others or in the world, and we just are looking in another direction except looking toward God's face. And this says, bless the Lord, my soul, and don't forget all of God's benefits. God, the one who forgives all of our iniquities, the one who heals all of our diseases. And see, that's the thing we also have to remember, is that there is no such thing as an incurable disease with God. During the time of Moses, the incurable disease was leprosy. If you got leprosy, there was no cure unless God healed you. And there are diseases we have like that today, that if you get certain diseases, we know that unless God touches your body, you are done. If somebody says you have pancreatic cancer, unless God touches your body, you're done. And so now, this is what we have to understand, is that it's God who heals all of our diseases. He forgives all of our iniquities. He redeems our life from destruction. See, and he did this with the broken body of his son, Jesus Christ. And the blood, the perfect blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that was given for us. And see, that blood paid for all of our sins. And so when we repent and we come boldly before the throne of God to receive his mercy, and we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us. And we also have to extend that same mercy to others in order to receive mercy from God. So one of the things in our life that causes illness is unforgiveness. When we are holding on to bitterness and rage and grudges and all of this negativity, it is canceling out all of the blessings that God has for us. And yet God says to us in Matthew chapter 6 that if we forgive those who trespass against us, then he forgives us. So God is relieving two burdens from us. He's relieving the burden of first us having offended him, and he's relieving the burden of us walking around thinking about something that somebody did to us in the past that we couldn't possibly change if we wanted to, because it's in the past. And look at what it says here in Psalm 103 also. It says, it's God who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, right? So as God crowns us and extends his loving kindness and tender mercies to us, we are to extend his loving kindness and tender mercies to others. It's God who satisfies our mouth with good things. And we know that in the previous verse, we read about how God sweetened the waters for his people, right? God wants to satisfy our mouth with good things. And we know that what you eat affects your health and well-being, right? So God is going to allow you to afford the best, to know what's best, to eat, to satisfy your mouth with good things, and not just with food. Your mouth is going to produce whatever's in your heart. So if you're meditating on God's word, if you're studying God's word, if you're thinking on all the benefits and promises in God's word, then your mouth is going to express those things that you dwell on and meditate on in God's word. And that's going to also preserve your health and strengthen you so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, if you're 20 years old, you don't necessarily appreciate what this is saying here, that your youth will be renewed like the eagles. But if you're 54 like me, the idea of your youth being renewed like the eagles is a good thing. It's an exciting thing because When you no longer have your youth, when you no longer have that energy you used to have, you appreciate health a lot more. And I think about the Eagles' youth being renewed because there's a decision an Eagle has to make when it's 40 years old. When an Eagle's 40 years old, its beak is so long that it starts to curve into its chin, and it has trouble eating. Its claws are also turning inward, and they are getting more difficult to manage. Its feathers are getting heavier, and it's harder for the eagle to maneuver. And the eagle has to decide whether it's going to die at 40 or whether it is going to endure a very painful transformation. And this transformation is a very humbling experience. It's an experience that makes the eagle very vulnerable. We understand that the eagle is like the lion of the air. It is a dominant predator, and it controls. It dominates the realm of the sky. It's like a shark in the ocean, or a lion on land. And so what happens when this eagle decides it wants to live another 40 years is it has to fly to a very high altitude. and then it has to dive into a body of water. And when it dives into the body of water, all of its old feathers are pulled off. So now it looks like a plucked chicken. And this eagle has to swim to the shore and hide in a bush. And while it's there, hiding in a bush with no feathers, looking like a plucked chicken, it has to pull its beak off. It has to literally bang its beak against a rock and pull its old beak off. And then, so it's fasting. It can't eat without its beak. And then it has to remove the old talons and pull those off with a rock as well. And then it has to wait and be in hiding and seclusion until its new talons grow, its new beak grows, the new feathers grow, and then the eagle's youth is renewed, right? And it will live another 40 years. But if the eagle wasn't willing to be vulnerable, if the eagle wasn't willing to humble itself, if the eagle wasn't trusting that while it was in the bushes, that it would be protected and safe and secure, etc., then it would just decide to die and not go through that whole process. Well, so it is with us. We have to begin to trust that God's word is true and then study God's word and seek it out for the commandments of God, understanding that all the commandments are attached to promises. See, there are so many people who want to avoid studying God's word, and they want to avoid knowing what God's commandments are because they have no intent of doing those commandments, and they would rather plead ignorance and say, I'm not gonna study because if I find something I don't want to do, I just want to be able to say I didn't know, and that's not gonna fly. Because the responsibility is to study God's word, because God, all of God's commandments have promises attached to them. So that if God says, I need you to do this, but if you do this, I'm going to do this, this, and this for you, right? So what you're doing by rejecting the commandments of God and not submitting yourself to the commandments of God is you are rejecting the promises that come with those commandments, right? Look at what it says here in Isaiah 53, 4 to 5. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This is speaking of Christ. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So what I want to point out here is that this is speaking of Jesus Christ. And the one who was perfect, the one who was tempted but did not sin, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. And see, have you ever seen someone who was beat up? Have you ever seen someone who was being punished for something? And or not necessarily being punished for something. They just looked like they were had a really bad go of it. And you ask yourself, what did they do to deserve that? That's just human nature. It's what we call in psychology the just cause phenomenon. It is saying that if someone is experiencing, it says good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. So if you see someone who's suffering, you assume that they did something to deserve what they got. But what it says here is that we esteemed Christ stricken and smitten by God and afflicted because we saw him beat and nailed to a cross, right? But the reality is he was wounded for our transgressions. He suffered for us. He was bruised and he was beat for our iniquities. So the price for our transgressions and sins has already been paid. The chastisement of our peace for our peace was on him. And what that means is that peace is available to us. healing is available. By his stripes we're healed. By those three beatings with 39 lashes each time, we are healed by that. If you've ever watched The Passion of the Christ, you've seen a rendition of Jesus Christ being beat. And if you haven't seen it, I'd highly recommend it because it's a real good illustration of what Jesus Christ endured for our physical wholeness. He wasn't just being beat for the sake of being beat. God didn't send his only begotten son to die on a cross for nothing. See, his shed blood was for our spiritual wholeness, for our deliverance from sin, so we could be made worthy to enter into the presence of God. And it is the blood of Christ that makes us worthy, not anything we do. Then it is the broken body, those beatings Jesus Christ took and endured, which was for our physical wholeness. But you know what? Most of us are ignorant of that, because if you are ill, have you ever heard Christians tell you, plead the blood, plead the blood? Well, the blood is for your sin. It's the broken body of Christ that heals you. It's by his stripes we are healed, as it says here in Isaiah 53. And when you understand the nature of the price that was paid, that was before he died. See, he died for our sins. But while he was alive, the last thing he endured were those beatings. Look at what it says here in Psalm 107:20. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. See, Jesus Christ is the word of God. He's the living word of God. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and healed us and delivered us from our destructions. I want to look at this next verse, which is also going to tell us what is going on so that we understand that the broken body of Jesus Christ produces health and healing in our life when we know it, when we understand the nature of the price that God paid by sending his only begotten son to redeem us from sin, sickness, disease, illness, mental illness that comes from Adam disobeying. That's really what it is. See, there was no sin, sickness, disease, illness, mental illness before Adam sinned. And yet, afterward, because of what Adam did, God had to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to undo the damage that Adam did by unleashing the devil on humanity and giving him authority over the earth that was given to him. Look what it says here in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. It says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. And what's important about this is if you ever remember the story, the prodigal son and the Gospels, the prodigal son, he basically told his father, I want my inheritance early. I wish you were dead today. Please give me my inheritance and let me go. The only reason I'm around is sitting around here waiting for you to die. I have a life to live. This is what God is saying here. It says, whoever curses his father and mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. The prodigal son was given his inheritance by his father. And then he went out and took all of this money and wasted it on riotous living, drinking, women, all this stuff. And after he spent his entire inheritance in a foreign land, he found himself broke and willing to, now this is a Jewish guy, right? Willing to slop the pigs of the foreigners for work. And and food. And he thought to himself while he was feeding these pigs, he said, you know what? I could do better as a servant in my father's house. I'm going to go back to my father's house and ask him to be a servant. And he went back, and when his dad saw him, he forgot about the fact that his son said, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance early. And he ran out to meet him. He hugged him. He told all his servants to bring out the fatted calf. He threw a big party for his son. He gave his son a signet ring, put a robe on him, and restored him to his place as a son. That's what God does with us. But this here is saying, whoever curses their father and mother, your lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Now, what's important about this is when we talk about unforgiveness, one of the biggest, most common areas of life where we need deliverance is in forgiving our parents who were charged with raising us. And some of us had good parents, some of us had bad parents, and some of us had parents in the middle, but God is saying, you know what? If you had your father and your mother, you were blessed. There are people who don't have a father or a mother. The first and great commandment is to obey your mother and your father. That's it, Ephesians 6. It's the first command with a promise that says, if you obey your mother and your father, you'll live long upon the earth and it'll go well with you, right? Well, this is the opposite of that. This says, whoever curses their father or mother, your lamp will be put out in deep darkness. And then it says an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Meaning, you seek your parents' death and demise in order to get their stuff early. Not understanding the real value is in having your mother or father present, period. And understanding that no matter how perfect or imperfect they were, half of you is composed of them. Half of your 23 chromosomes is from your mom, half your, and your other 23 chromosomes from your dad. And that's who you are. And so to curse them or to despise them is to curse yourself and despise yourself. So when God says the first and great command is to love him first with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then the second command is likened unto it to love yourself and then love others. But it's impossible to love yourself if you hate part of who you are. See, you are the product of your mother and your father. And if you can hate your mother or your father, then you hate yourself. So if forgiveness needs to start so that you can be made whole, so that all of your sickness and disease can be removed, let's start with forgiving our mother and our father. Those who are the closest to us are going to offend us the most. Those who have the most responsibility for us are the ones who are going to fail us the most. And we're, you know, we're all capable. As a matter of fact, any of us who have been mothers and fathers, we understand how hard that job is. That's not something that just anybody can do. Look at what it says here in Jeremiah 17:14. Jeremiah prays for deliverance. And see, this is the mindset we have to have, the attitude we have to have when we are afflicted, when we are experiencing illness and disease. It says, Jeremiah prayed for deliverance. He said, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. And see, we praise God while we are being delivered, not after we've been delivered. We praise God while we are being delivered. We say, what the word says. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Because it says, by the stripes of God's Son, Jesus Christ, we are healed. It says, save me, and I shall be saved. You know what I really love about this? Is God doesn't speak in maybes and I might and you could possibly. He speaks in absolutes. He says, you shall be healed. You shall be saved. You shall be delivered. And that makes God our praise, because God magnified his word above his name, and we know that God can't go back on his word. So we got to stand on his promises. Look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. It says, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion. No one seeks her. And see, that's the thing. That's the issue. God gets glory out of restoring you. See, we have to understand that when we allow sin to reign in our life, it produces illness. When we let unforgiveness to reign in our life, it produces illness. When we let stress reign in our life instead of the peace of God, it produces illness and sickness and disease, and ultimately death. And so it's the broken body of Jesus Christ that produces health and healing in our life. And God says he will restore us. He will heal us of our wounds for his glory, because he's not going to have them in the world saying, see, those Christians over there, they're worse off than we are because they're not doing what they want. And they're still suffering just like us. They're still dying of the same thing that we're dying of. And I'm telling you, when you stand on the promise of God, you're not afraid of something like COVID or cancer or AIDS or any of that. Because we know that it's God who heals our diseases. Look at what it says in Matthew 8:8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. See, he had a servant who was at his house who was ill. But the centurion understood how authority worked and that the one in authority could speak and cause things far away from them to happen. And that's how it is. When we understand the authority of the power of the word of God, and we say what God says, we come in agreement with God's promise that we will prosper and be in health, then we'll prosper and be in health. Look at what it says in Matthew 9:35, the compassion of Jesus. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, it's interesting because when we think of men of God and Jesus Christ, we think of teaching in the synagogues and we think of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But the power that came with the preaching and the teaching is that he healed every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit within us allows us to do the same when we believe. You may not have believed until today to heal someone, but when God opens the door and creates the opportunity for you to minister healing to someone in the name of Jesus Christ, you will, and they will be made whole. That's how the power and authority works. Look at this next passage here in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. See, we're called believers because we believe. We're among those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, they will cast out devils. In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, they will speak with new tongues. In my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And what this is saying is, in the name of Jesus Christ, they're going to cast out demons. In the authority of Jesus Christ, you're going to cast out demons. through the power of the Holy Spirit within you, you're going to speak with new tongues. You're going to speak in tongues. You're going to take up serpents. If you, and here's the thing, you have to understand, in the ancient world, in Rome and Judea and Israel and all those places that we read about, places of antiquity, there were common things that people would do in order to kill people that they hated. One would be to put a serpent in their dwelling to bite them and poison them and kill them. Another thing they would do would be to poison them by putting poison in their drink. But this says that if you take up a serpent, if you happen to pick up a serpent, it will not harm you. If you drink any deadly thing, if somebody poisons you, it will by no means harm you. It says that we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And that's why we have to get to the point where we believe. We believe and we cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak in tongues. We are not afraid of taking up serpents if we must. We are not afraid of somebody who hates us poisoning us because it will not harm us. And we're not afraid of laying hands on the sick because it says when we do, they will recover. And see, we have to get to the point where we believe, and I have to go from grace to grace and faith to faith and expect God to do more and more and more through the power of the Holy Spirit He's placed within me, just like you have to expect God to do more and more and more and grow from grace to grace and faith to faith and expect God to do more with you, because He didn't send His Son Jesus Christ to die for nothing. Look at what it says here in Luke chapter 6, verse 19. It talks about Jesus healing a great multitude. It says, and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. And they were healed, those who were possessed. They were healed, they were delivered, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for the power went out from him and healed them all. And some translations of this say, virtue went out of him and healed them all. And see, it's the virtue that's within us when we are studying God's word, when we are fasting, when we are praying, when we're meditating upon the word, that allows us to be equally ready and prepared to operate the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And see, this is what it says in Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says that if the devil knew that we would have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, that he never would have crucified Jesus Christ, which is a hard thing to imagine. But when Christ was on earth, it was God in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, and Jesus Christ was preaching and teaching and healing and delivering, right? But now it's God in Christ and Christ in us through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and we're supposed to be teaching and preaching and healing and delivering the same way that he did. And because it's the same power of Christ within us, because Jesus Christ said, greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father. Look at what it says in James chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say anointing him or her with oil in the name of Jesus Christ. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise he or she up, and if he or she has committed any sins, he or she will be forgiven. See, this is put forth in absolute terms. It didn't say the prayer of faith might save the sick. It didn't say the Lord might raise he or she up. It didn't say if you've committed any sin, you might be forgiven. It's in absolute It's in the absolute tense. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise he or she up. And if he or she has committed any sins, he or she will be forgiven. And we have to have this confidence in the authority of the power of the Word of God so that we can stop acting like the Word is something that we can take it or leave it. I said, I'll tell you, if you leave it, you're cursed. If you change it, you no longer have the Word of God. If you add to it, you no longer have the Word of God. If you change it, you no longer have the Word of God. That's why we have to study the Word of God so that we can find out exactly what God is saying. Because God is sharing with us his heart. He's sharing his ways with us. And when we really want to know how God works, we study his word to say, oh, that's how God does it. Oh, this is what's important to God. Oh, you mean if I do this, I'm going to get this? If I don't do this, I'm going to get this? See, and he doesn't want us ignorant. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. It says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Jesus Christ, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who bore our sins, in his own body on the tree. See, our sins were in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, I want to point this out. When the Word of God says might or maybe or possibly, it's as accurate as when it says you shall, you will, in the absolute tense. See, it says that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. There's a decision. We have to decide to live for righteousness. Because just because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins doesn't mean that we are going to decide to live for righteousness. It means that it's available for us to live for righteousness. It's available for us to claim the healing and health through the broken body of Jesus Christ that comes by his stripes that we were healed by. See, past tense. We were healed by the beatings of Jesus Christ. But when we decide to live for righteousness, that's when we can confidently walk into that and understand that we're not our own. Look at what it says here in 3 John, verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. We have to look at this and understand and see that it's God's desire for us to prosper in all things, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially whole. And if you're worried about money, then you don't have emotional wholeness or mental wholeness. You are probably a little shaken up. But if you understand that God has everything, and it's God's desire for you to prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers, then you cause your soul to prosper by feeding your spirit, by praying, by fasting, by studying God's word. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you today to claim your physical healing in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, because of the beatings that he took. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. I thank you for you blessing someone, touching them, allowing them to share this word that they've heard tonight with someone who needs to hear it, God. And Father, I thank you for us having a great night's sleep In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, be ye transformed.
Control. Next episode. Now look here. See, when you think about when everybody counts you out, see, he the only one that probably really helps you out. I'm talking from experience. You hearing this? Seems like he tested me again, but on the flip side, it's like he's blessing me again.